Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about
8 simple steps for becoming the spiritual leader of your home.
I have done an episode, or I should say I've talked about it in an episode that we did in a Q&A maybe 20 or 30 episodes ago. We briefly touched on this topic, but I think this is such an important conversation. We have so many wives and husbands ask us, what does it mean to be the spiritual leader of the home? So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to share my personal 8-step process that I think has been very fruitful in our family, and it's really practical, and I think that's what's important. 5 steps are daily, 3 steps are weekly, and so we're going to break that down here in a minute.
Yes, and ladies, if you're listening, we also have a podcast that might help you help your husband be a better spiritual leader. It's episode number 4 titled How a Wife Can Motivate Her Husband to Be the Spiritual Leader. And it is one of our more popular episodes and might be worth listening to if you haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, there are a handful of episodes that have, you know, lots of downloads, and that was one of them. Mm-hmm. Because again, I think it's such a pain point for so many people that a wife wants to know, how can I get my husband to be a spiritual leader? And the men, I think, just want to know how to do it. So we're going to talk about that today. But first, I have a big announcement. We have a big announcement. Oh my goodness, we're not pregnant, but Ultimate Marriage is finally launched and live. You guys can sign up and enroll if you want to join our 6-week marriage mentor program. It is an incredible program. We spent how many hours?
I spent less than you, but a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we, guys,
lots and lots and lots
months
of, time.
Of work that turned into, so much time on writing scripts and studying and filming and motion graphics and web design. I mean, guys, I really believe this program is quite beautiful. I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of an overview of the program. It's 6 20 to 30 minute video lessons with Veronica and I both. I'm doing most of the teaching, but Veronica is in these lessons. And then 6 marriage challenge checklists. And these checklists are really cool. They're beautifully designed. They have a few questions for you to answer after you watch the video. And then there's 4 really cool tasks or challenges that you can do for the week. And then we also have a private online community that you can be involved and engage with other couples that are biblically centered and want to build a great marriage. And you can also do it as an individual couple, or you can do it in a small group. And I think the small group structure, we have a facilitator guide, all that kind of stuff. I think it makes the price cheaper if you do it in a small group. I think that's going to be a really popular setup. We already have couples that...
Yeah, we have quite a few people who just do Bible study small groups off of just listening to our podcast. They gather with people once a week in their homes with like-minded individuals and listen to our podcast or watch our video on YouTube and then do a Bible study off of it, which was really cool.
Yeah, so I think to take this and have a more structured curriculum, I'm just really excited. So if you want to be a part of this program, just go to ultimatemarriage.com and you guys can be a part. It's a companion ministry of relearnchurch.org, which is our I would say, our mothership ministry, all right, our home base. And same with, you know, the Real Christianity is a part of that. I want to remind you guys that this podcast is 100% funded by our listeners. And so this is not something that makes money for us. It is absolutely funded by our listeners. We're supported by the prayers and the funding of God's people. So we just want to say thank you guys. So many of you guys have donated $5 or $15 a month and really allowed us to continue to justify doing this podcast every single week. And I really want to, you know, this is eternal work. It's kind of hard to think about that, but that's really what this is doing. If you guys read the reviews that we have on the podcast, you'll realize that the Lord is using this as eternal work, and it's very much important ministry. So I want to remind you guys, if you guys do feel led to support the ministry in any capacity, whether it's prayer or by finance, you guys can always go to relearnchurch.org/donate. And we would appreciate that. So we're going to get started.
All right. So I think that today's conversation is more important than people realize. Mm-hmm. Even when you talk to some of our friends who grew up in the church and grew up in Christian homes, they often talk about how their mother played the role of spiritual leader in their house. And for many of those people, that trend seems to kind of continue on into their own marriage. Mm-hmm. And what we have learned is that many couples don't know what it even looks like to have a husband that leads the family. And does that mean, you know, a lot of people wonder, does that mean that he prays at dinner, or does that mean he reads the Bible to me or to our family? What does this really look like?
Yeah. And we've seen this so many times where if you are in a family that you were raised where mom was the spiritual leader and that's the wife in the relationship, it almost always reproduces itself. In the marriage, where you now have another woman who is acting just like her mom did, because that's the example that she had.
And there are unique circumstances, you know, dad passed away when you were young, sure, whatever it is. But we're not talking about the unique circumstances here.
Yeah, we're talking about the general rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. So first, before we kind of get started, I'm going to get some scripture out in front of us. And I think it's important just to kind of understand the reason the husband is called to be the spiritual leader and the reason the wife is called to follow that leadership. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians 5, 22 through 27. It's a passage we've read several times on the podcast. We're going to kind of give you a quick refresher, and then we are going to move into the 8-step process. So just bear with us. We're going to do some little preface work here, and then we're going to dive into that process. So starting off in Ephesians 5, 22 through 27, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands," not every man, "to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Okay, such a critical passage. I always recommend couples just to memorize this passage of scripture. I've done it several times. I feel like I got it about 80% right now. But it's something that you just have to kind of keep fresh on your mind. It's the pattern and model for biblical Christian marriage. Mm-hmm. So the role of the wife is to submit. The duty of the husband is to love. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The role of the wife in this passage is to submit to her own husband's leadership. But the role or the duty of the husband is to love. And we don't have time to walk into and just the deep conversation around submission and headship and leadership. But I'm going to briefly define submission as this idea of falling under one mission. So ladies, when you hear the word submission, think about it as falling under one mission in terms of falling under the authority structure that God has in place for your family.
Yeah, and I often remind wives that I don't follow Dale because Dale said so. You've actually never told me that. I follow Dale because Christ said so. And by me submitting to Dale, by me following Dale, I'm actually falling in line with God's authoritative structure. And this is what fuels my desire for Dale to lead our family and actually restricts my desire to walk independently.
Yeah, it's her wanting to fall, again, this idea of falling under the mission or just the unified authority structure that God has put in place. It's called derived authority in theology circles, this idea that there's really the only authority that that exists in the world all comes from God. And the only authority in your marriage comes from God. And I'm going to explain this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." This idea that ultimately the only authority that Jesus has is the authority that the Father gave him. The only authority that your husband has is the authority that Jesus gave him. The only authority that the wife has is comes through her husband, and it goes down to the children. And so this idea of the authority structure is you're falling under one mission. So Veronica is, in fact, when she's in submission to me as her husband, she's really just being submissive to Christ, you know, and I think that's an important part to talk about. So what does leadership as the head of the family really look like in a practical way? And that's the question we want to answer today. How can men lead and love, because that was the command, their wives as Christ leads and loves the church? And again, I think men just want something simple. You know, I think women want men to want something more complex and emotional. But in fact, I really believe that men just need something simple. They need to understand, okay, how do I get the basics, the foundation laid so that I can at least fulfill the minimum requirements and then we can work from there.
Right.
And so we're going to...
On the foundation.
Yeah. And so we're going to give you a list to check, a map to follow. And I think that's what this episode's really about.
Yeah. And for me, Dale's, you know, 8-step process that he's going to share with you. If everything on that list occurs every week, I feel like our marriage and our family is actually progressing forward. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what most women are looking for, which is actually, you know, not really that much. Mm-hmm. I bet it probably takes you, I don't know, 90 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And it makes all of the difference in our life. It makes a huge impact. But again, I don't think women know what they want in terms of spiritual leadership. And I don't think men know what they should do in terms of spiritual leadership. So today's episode, my hope is that this removes some of the confusion that some people may have and gives people, couples, a good starting point that puts their marriage and their family life back in order.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And so let's go into this process. It's an 8-step process. And again, as I said before, there's 5 steps that happen every day. And then there's 3 steps that happen throughout every week. And so we're going to break these down. You don't need to worry about writing these all down because you can just go to relearnchurch.org/listen and look for this episode. And we're going to have this written down for you.
All the show notes there.
Yeah, all the show notes will be available for you there. So number one for me is, as the spiritual leader of my home, is I am having personal prayer and study time every day for a minimum of 30 minutes. What kind of meeting have you ever had that's been a good meeting that's less than 30 minutes? Like none. No, let's go have a 15-minute meeting. No, that you don't do that. 30-minute meeting is, this is with the God of the universe and you're going to give him the best time of your day. And so you wake up early, or for me, I actually do it about an hour and a half after I get up in the morning because that's the best time of my day. I want to go in and dive into work, but instead I go and I spend 30 to 60 minutes with the Lord.
And before you move on, if I can just say something for the wives, we're to be our husband's helpmate. And so if they need that time, that's one way that we can be helping them. Mm-hmm. I sure, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating because you could really use that help, but that's actually priority that your husband gets into the Word and he's studying the Word so that way he can refuel your family. He can refuel you. He can refuel your kids spiritually. So we need to make sure that we allow and accommodate for that time.
Yeah, you don't want to be a barrier to like your husband trying to lead, because it starts with this step. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, this is the most critical step. You can't lead spiritually if you're not being filled spiritually. And so this is, without this step, none of the other steps matter, mm-hmm. because you have to be filled up with God's truth, with the Holy Spirit, having time with the Word and with God in communion. And if there are two things that your flesh hates as a man, and I guess as a woman too, it's studying God's Word and praying. Your flesh, your evil, broken down flesh, hates the idea of praying and studying God's Word. You're never going to be excited to do it in your flesh. You're going to be excited to do it in your spirit. But a lot of guys have to kind of get their flesh into subjection of their spirit. You know, it's a work, and I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And for me, it's not just about, don't turn this into a habit, men. This isn't about, I'm going to do this for 21 days and it's going to become a habit. That's not what I'm talking about here. Sit before the Lord and pray that the Lord gives you a desire to desire Him. Mm-hmm. Pray that the Lord gives you a desire to pray, to kind of fill you up with a hunger for more, so that it's driven by God and not driven by like, I'm going to check this off my list and be a really disciplined man and get this done every day.
That's doing it in your own strength.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to do this. And so you got to get there and get your flesh in subjection of your spirit and have the Lord be the power behind this thing. So that's step number one, personal prayer and study time. 30 minutes minimum per day. Number two of the 8-step process is provide your wife with the same personal prayer and study time. If you're leading your wife, you're not leading your wife to you. You're leading your wife toward God. And so you got to make sure that you, again, make time for her. And, you know, I'll admit, I have not been the best, but I have worked to make sure that she does get time pretty often. Mm-hmm. And it is a work that you need to constantly get going. This morning, you actually had some time.
If you get a little rusty, I'll say, hey, can I have 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah. And so just getting her away from the kids, when you get home from work, just go, hey, I'll watch the kids. Why don't you go in the room and study for 20, 30 minutes? Mm-hmm. And in the morning, I mean, what does that do for you? If on those days that you get that time?
It helps me to be focused on, you know, have a kingdom perspective of my day, mm-hmm. instead of getting lost in the little, you know, annoyances and cleaning and things that, you know, come up when you're a stay-at-home mom. It just helps me walk into my day filled up, knowing what my priorities are. I've spent time with the Lord. I've prayed. I've read the Word. And now I have a vision.
A vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So personal prayer and study for the men, personal prayer and study for the wives. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. We wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online marriage mentor program at our companion ministry, ultimatemarriage.com.
Yeah, Dale and I designed a powerful biblical curriculum with 6 themes, one for each week. Here's how it works. Every 7 days, Dale and I release a 45-minute video lesson on that week's theme, plus a weekly marriage challenge PDF for you and your spouse to incorporate those teachings directly into your marriage.
Yeah, it's an incredible program where we cover everything from sex and money to children and biblical roles. But more than that, it's also an incredible community. You'll have access to our private online group and the Ultimate Marriage text message line, where Veronica and I can send our regular encouragements and wisdom straight to your phone. The catch is this. We try to limit the number of couples in the program at one time to assure a quality and intimate experience. So if you're interested in joining the program, enroll now at ultimatemarriage.com. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com. Step number 3 on the daily 5 steps, and then we're going to do the 3 weekly steps. Host a family Bible time. This could be in the morning. This could be in the evening. 10 to 15 minutes. That's it. And we sit, we read, we pray. And we just usually, we do this just in our living room. We sit down as a family, put the kids on a blanket or a pillow, and we read usually one chapter or one Bible story, and then we pray. We have younger kids. If they're older, it might be a little bit different. And
yeah, time could be longer. They could take turns reading. We can discuss whatever it is that you've read. But that's just what we've done.
Yeah. And we let them pray. And then I pray over the family. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we do every single morning. We read, sometimes we'll read just the New King James Version of the Bible, one chapter, or the ESV. Or we'll read Bible stories. And I want to share actually a book that we read, in the morning. I've been going for the last probably 20 or 30 days, the kids through one of these books. And, I want you to be clear on one point. Bible story books, teach your kids that Bible story books are not the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. The little kids' Bibles, those are Bible stories, and it's not a Bible. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of getting their head wrapped around, there is a Bible, and that's what that is over there. This is a Bible story book. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share with you guys one of those things right here. For those of you guys are watching this as a video, you guys get a chance to see it. But it's called Follow Me. It's Bible Stories for Young Children. And this was actually produced by Reformation Heritage Books. And I really appreciated it. It's got three little questions at the end of every little story. And it's got some great illustrations on it. So anyways, this is just one simple resource that we have used in our home. And it's short story, and then again, those questions are they're age specific for like little kids between probably 3 to 8, you know.
And yeah, some the questions there at the bottom if you're watching it.
Yeah, so some fun illustrations right there. So that's been a great resource, and Reformation Heritage is actually partnered with us, and you guys can actually get a copy of that for a discount. You just go to Reformation Heritage, or actually I think it's heritagebooks.org/RC, and you can get it for really cheap. Anyways, it's a fun little resource. I want to share you one more resource that I think is one of the coolest family Bible time resources that has ever existed. It's called the Family Worship Bible Guide. I haven't got a chance to use this much because our kids are a little bit young for it, mm-hmm. but it's a really cool concept. And again, I'm showing this here. It looks like a Bible, and it's on it is just in gold foil. It says Family Worship Bible Guide. What this is, and it's by the same publisher, it's an entire book and every single chapter of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation has two questions. So all you need to do as a dad is go, hey, we're going to read Acts chapter 15 today. And you read Acts chapter 15 and you turn to the Family Worship Bible Guide and it's got two already prepared questions for a family Bible time discussion.
That correspond with that chapter.
That correspond with that chapter for every single chapter of the Bible.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. And so it's just a fun little resource. And I know for those people that have kids that are maybe, you know, 10 and up, or even 8 and up, I think it's a great resource to get meaningful discussion on your family Bible time. And again, you can just go to heritagebooks.org/RC. And these are, they're pretty cheap, so I think they're affordable. But those are great resources we wanted to share with you guys. So pray time for dad, pray time for wife.
Host family Bible time.
Host family Bible time. Step number 4 is bedtime prayer and proclamation. This is something that I don't know if I learned it or invented it or saw it in somebody else. It's just normal. I didn't invent it, but it's just the idea of we do a little thing called prayer and proclamation. But, you know, lots of dads go and pray for their kids at night. But this idea of proclaiming truth to them and teaching them to proclaim truth back to you is a process that I think is just a fun thing to do. And what I mean is this. I ask our kids a handful of questions. Our kids are young, almost 6, almost 4, and
two.
And so we got some little ones here. But what I do is I ask them a couple questions right now. And one of them is, what's the most important thing we can ever do? And what do they say?
Follow God's word.
Follow God's word. They yell that back to me. And I go, well, where do we find God's word?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. And so it's kind of a small catechism in a way. I also have created a family phrase, and I want to encourage you men to create a family phrase for your home. And so I say, hey, what do partridges do? And they would come back to me and say, we follow God and we lead others. That's our family phrase. You can come up with your own. You know, what do the Johnsons do? Come up with your thing. And another thing I'm doing right now with Aria is I'm going, hey, what's the first and greatest commandment? You know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I go, well, hey, and the second is like it. She goes, yeah, to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and so we're working together at those things. We've had
them. You've even Honor starting to respond that back to you as well.
Yeah.
He's a little bit delayed in his speech, so it's really cute.
It is really cute.
I don't know, his little baby talk, I guess.
But we've done the Ten Commandments in a shorter version as well. I just want to encourage you guys to do not just prayer, but proclamation. And it's fun. The kids actually look forward to doing it at night.
And you And if you, for some reason, walk out, Dad, you forgot.
Yeah, they'll remind me. Mm-hmm. And so this, again, you know, it's just step four, prayer and proclamation with your kids every single night. Step five is what I call 3-minute theology with your wife. Okay? 3-minute theology.
It may end up being 20 to 30 minute theology if you have a husband that loves theology.
Yeah, all you got to do is commit to 3 minutes. Because 3 minutes usually will turn into 10 or 15. I happen to dump this on Veronica usually at like...
Yeah, if you guys follow me on Instagram, you probably saw that like a week or two ago.
Like 10:45 at night.
Yeah, 10:45 at night. Dale's just like, I just discovered, had this revelation or whatever it is, and, you know, connected the dots and
it's
brain
fun.
Dumps on me as I'm trying to stay awake and listen.
So what I do is I share what I'm reading in the morning, or I share what I'm reading in the evening, because I read in the evening too. I try to share what I'm learning. I try to also ask her what she's learning and what she's reading. Right now, she's reading up on, you know, classical education. So I'm just finding out that world too. It's something that she cares about. But we try to talk about, she's going through the Bible right now, and we'll talk about where she's at there. And it's important just to, I think, initiate a conversation about God.
Some type of spiritual conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because it keeps this in the presence and the culture of the home on a daily basis.
And your kids hear you guys talking about it if they're awake, you know, yeah. Up. But
yeah. So those first five steps, personal prayer time and study time, give your wife personal prayer and study time. Host family Bible time is step three, bedtime prayer and proclamation with your kids, step four. And number five is 5-minute five-minute theology. I should have done 5-minute, huh? 3-minute theology with your wife. The next three are things that happen weekly. And again, when we have a week that's like fully chalked up with this stuff every single week, those are good weeks.
Those are good weeks.
Mm-hmm. And we,
when all everything aligns perfectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to pull it off every single day, but I feel like if you try,
we get most of them.
Mm-hmm. Number six is date night. I don't care if you take your wife to the park to eat food that you have at your house. Take your wife on a date if you can. The hardest thing for us has been babysitting, just finding sitters.
Apparently there's no babysitters in Central Oregon.
We have a few. There always is some circumstances that happen that are like legitimate circumstances that we go, all right, Lord, I guess we're not doing that. But date night we try to do every week. We probably get two a month.
Yeah. We shoot for every week.
We shoot for every week.
Like two a month.
Just take your wife out for 2-3 hours. Go to dinner, walk around, get some time, especially if...
Or date day.
If you got little ones, it's nice to get mom away to give her some time to enjoy marriage as a husband and a wife. So date night. If you can get that on your list, man, your wife will feel loved. Number seven is family day. I think wives think that the sexiest thing of a man is that when he loves... the kids. Like, I've seen so many women that go, oh my gosh, my husband's so attractive when he plays with our kids and spends time with our kids and wants to be a family man and care about the kids. And so I just go, hey, put a family day together. And we try to do that on Saturday. Probably most people try to do that on Saturday. And it doesn't need to be all day. It could be, we're going to go into town, take a walk in downtown, go to the park, have some lunch.
Go on a hike, do something.
Yeah. And so just some intentional set-aside time where you guys can connect as a family. And your kids will remember those things. And so that's, again, part of spiritual leadership, because it's showing your children that you love them. You're representing how a father loves their child. And one day your kids will learn that God is a father and they're going to base their understanding of their heavenly father off the example of their earthly father. And so if their father wants to spend time with them and love them, this is a good thing for them to learn. The last step, number 8, for family leadership, spiritual leadership of the home as a man, is making sure that you have a Sabbath. So it's taking that Sunday, and I've done an episode, deep theological episode on Sabbath a few episodes back, having Sunday as a rest day for the family. And for Veronica, because Veronica's work is the home, mm-hmm. Veronica doesn't do any work in the home on Sunday.
Yeah, so our house gets a little crazy on Sundays.
She doesn't like it, but...
But that's what Mondays are for. And if you ask Aria, what are Mondays for? She'll say, getting the house back in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we do on Mondays.
And so I think the, you know, giving her a rest, hey, let the dishes pile up today. You know, I'll take on some of that role to help clean up a little bit, because that's, you know, not customary work for me. And then we rest as a family. We do church, and we try to get some lay down time and read some books and maybe go for a walk. But we enjoy our Sabbath. So I want you guys to notice one thing that's really important for the men. Note that providing for your family wasn't included in this list. Okay? The thing is, men, we're naturally good at providing for our families. That's usually not an issue that we're seeing. What we are seeing is we're not naturally good at spiritually providing for our families. And so that's why it's not included in there. I expect you men will make money and get rent paid. But can you do all these 8 things on top of that? You know, we often give the best of our life to work and the rest of our life to our family. And that is the opposite perspective that we should have for spiritual leadership. So that's the end of the conversation. I want to do some closing announcements for you guys. For those that are regular listeners, would you guys consider leaving a review if you haven't yet? I think we're coming up close on 4,000 reviews. It is amazing.
Wow.
And again, you just need to tap the stars on iTunes. You don't even need to write anything, but if you do write something, I will absolutely read them. I've even read some of the critical ones that appreciated some of the feedback. But if you have a testimony, man, I would love to hear that. Again, you can find the show notes of this episode at relearnchurch.org/listen. And the last thing is that check out ultimatemarriage.com if you want to be a part of our 6-week marriage mentor program that goes so... I just can't speak highly enough about it. We spent so much time. And it's not just my content. The stuff that we share in that program is all the things that we've learned from all the incredible couples, Matt and Lisa Jacobson from Faithful Life Podcast, Angie and Isaac Tolpin from Courageous Parenting, Aaron and Jen Smith from Marriage After God. Actually, there's interviews with all 3 of those families in that program. And so there's just strong biblical content. So if you want to check that out, ultimatemarriage.com. On that note, guys, we will see you next week.
See ya.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your walk with God. For those that don't know, Real Christianity is an audio ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. I share this because Veronica and I want to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more Christians mature in their understanding of God's Word. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $10, $20, or $25 per month. I promise you that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to further the gospel. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org.
If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.